Psalm chapter 65, Psalm chapter 65. This has been a delightful day for me. I love your spirit. We've had visitors that your spirit was visible to them. We are nothing. And so, but I'll tell you this, what a privilege to be a Christian, right? What a privilege to be a Christian. Psalm chapter 65, title of the message, Are We Ready to Praise God? Let's read these 13 verses. I'm going to give you a little heads up. You're going to be shocked at one point in this message, and you're going to think, I can't believe he's done. It's fool's gold. I'm going to preach the message, and then I'm going to re-preach the message, and that'll make sense to you. So relax. As soon as I get to verse 13, you guys are going to be like, and then you get overly discouraged if I hadn't warned you. It just begins. Psalm chapter 65, verse 1, now you're depressed. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. By terrible things, in this word, you know, we would use terrible to be horrendous, but this is awestruck things, by wondrous things, by things beyond our imagination. That's what terrible would mean here. By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation. Who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are afar off upon the sea, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy tokens, or at thy signs, synonym words. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. Again, title of the message today, Are We Ready to Praise God? I want to just show you some things that we should praise God about. Does the air conditioning is starting to kick in? Feels good? Against that sweat, you're going to be cold in just a second. But don't blame me. But it'll feel good. It'll feel good. Sorry I waited so long to kick that on. But I wasn't trying to be cheap. I love the neighborhood to hear the singing. And it'll penetrate their soul. Let's just see the glories of God. And let's just enjoy the Lord. It's the beauty of the Psalms. When I'm negative, when I'm unhappy, I need to look at the Psalms and remember what to rejoice about. Look at this. First, you know, verse 1 is where the title came from. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. Are you ready? Are you ready to praise? Are you waiting, just looking? What? Oh, God did that. I'm going to praise the Lord for that. Look at verse 2. He says this, O thou that hearest prayer. We take this for granted, that God hears prayers. I guess maybe I have, but not regularly enough, thanking God that he would even listen to me, that he would love listening to me. He says, unto thee shall all flesh come. O thou that hearest prayer. That's a stunning. If I called Joe Biden, you think he'd return my call? No, he'd say, Steve who? I'd say Hall, H-A-L-L. And he wouldn't return my call, but God, the God of the universe. It is amazing. We see, I tell people this all the time, that what is so amazing, I do not want you to think of the cross as a generic cross. Kind of like, goulash sin. I think that's how most Christians think of goulash sin, and the Father placed that on the Son, and I'm punishing you for that goulash. No, it was every single one of your sins, specifically, that Christ took the eternal punishment for, as though you were the only one he was taking the punishment for. When we pray, God listens to us as though I'm the only one talking to him. His ability to do that is mind-blowing. I mean, I ask Deb a question, and I don't even take the time to listen. I caught myself the other day. Something else is more interesting than her long answer. She in the nursery? And so, Deb, you know, Deb, I try to do this. This is a yes or no question. And then it's like, over the river and through the woods, to Grand Theft South we go. And then it's like, I forget what I ask sometimes. I love her descriptions. And let me tell you, when Deb makes anything, it's the best. It takes longer than it would with me, but it's always better, right? But it is God hears me as though I'm the only one talking to him. Can you grasp that? When we praise him for that, there's 8 billion people on this earth. He could listen to all 8 billion at once and not be distracted. While he is sovereign over everything happening in Russia and Ukraine, he'll listen to you, Mike. Who are you? Spell your last name. It wouldn't matter. But God thinks it matters. Does that blow your mind? We need to praise the Lord for that. He hears our prayers. Second thing I want you to see, look at verse 3. This is even bigger than the first. Iniquities prevail against me. I love the honesty of David. This is another psalm of David. His frustration and its reality. For most of my life, I wanted to die because I was tired of sinning. I still am so tired of failing. And it's driven by selfishness, right? But as I get older, I'm closer to wanting to die to be with Christ. I'm tired of sinning. Are you tired of sinning? Do iniquities prevail against you? It's the hardest part about being a pastor. No matter whoever thinks the lowest of me, you think too highly of me. I will tell you this, I want to do what's right. I don't want to be, I don't want to have hypocrisy in my life. A true believer cannot be a hypocrite. But iniquities prevail against me. Do you understand what iniquities are? Iniquities are direct rebellion. See, sin will have a part of my life even without my knowledge every single day. I can sin by not loving the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, heart, mind, soul, and strength, right? I can do that and not be aware of it. It is audacious when somebody says they don't sin. I'll say, so you perfectly loved God yesterday and you perfectly loved your neighbor. To have the answer yes is unbelievable. But we could miss the mark of perfection. That's the definition of sin. And that's worthy of separation from God. But the issue is iniquities prevail against me. I know what's right and I don't do it. Okay, rebellious. I met a young man that I want his brokenness. I'm convinced this young man's saved. I asked him if he was saved. I said, no, I asked him, I said, have you asked Jesus to save you? He said, yes. I said, when did you do that? He said, 2 weeks ago. And then he started testifying of things that he didn't understand that were evidences that he was saved. But here's what he was terrified of. He's had a rough, he grew up in a Christian home, great Christian home. I spoke about him a little bit this morning, and rebelled against God horribly. You name it, he was involved in it. Evil, wickedness pursued it like it was water. And he is broken. I mean, in the last 2 weeks, he's read Pilgrim's Progress, all of the Gospels. He talks about Pilgrim's Progress like he's got it memorized, and he expected me to remember that. Yes, I kind of remember that. I read it a couple years ago again. I mean, he was eating it up. Here's what his struggle was. He's so afraid he'll go back. That's fear of the Lord, isn't it? He's read scriptures. He knows what's right. But iniquities prevail against me. oh, I wanted to help him. I'm going to stay in touch with him. He doesn't live in this area, so I have more liberty. I always struggle with people in the area that to really minister to that don't go to our church. But if you don't live here, I can get a little aggressive in a good way, I hope. I'm rooting for this young man. It's real. There's a bunch of people in this room. We struggle believing we can have victory because iniquities prevail against us. I want you to embrace this, and this is what this young man struggled with. Look at this in verse 3. And as for our transgressions, when we deliberately crossed over, thou shalt purge them away. Told this young man, I said, I want you to enjoy that Jesus has forgiven you, that he's removed your sins. He was so broken. I mean, I loved his brokenness. It was such a balance, right? I was like, oh God, let me be broken like this young man. And I wanted him to embrace this. See, this is the balance. Iniquities prevail against me. Oh, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Only Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said. But iniquities prevail against me, and I better remember this. He has already purged them away. Gone. I told him, I said, Romans 6 has become maybe one of my favorite chapters in all the Bible. Romans 6 epitomizes the victory we can have if I will just yield, if I will just submit, if I will just yield to righteousness. You understand this? Oh, Christian, I know, I don't think I'm oversimplifying. You don't have to sin, and I don't have to sin. Who am I going to yield to? My members of unrighteousness, or am I going to yield to righteousness? Am I going to walk in the Spirit or walk in the flesh? I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And it sounds overly simple. Doesn't mean there won't be difficulty. Doesn't mean there won't be sweat beads. I don't think sweat beads came down from Jesus' forehead. He wasn't close to sinning because he couldn't sin. So don't misunderstand that. When it says that Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, it was presented to him. And he understands it, but he couldn't sin. Because if he could, he still could. And we're not secure. Because if he could, he still could, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Some of you are looking at me like, what? Praise the Lord, he couldn't sin, right? He was 100% God, 100% man, and he could not sin. Thank you for that. Those are well-placed amens. And you don't have to amen if you don't agree. But that's where an amen's good. So I'm going to teach how to amen. And anyway, because it's this, let other people know. That's when a good amen, right? And we've got good ameners. I mean, I only tell you that. Now, are you words of affirmation? Good. So I could destroy you. But you know what that says is I'm not the only kook in here that thinks Jesus couldn't sin. You know what? Just let it stir you. Go study the scriptures. I'm glad he couldn't. But that doesn't take away that he knows exactly what I'm going through. Don't diminish that part of it. But I'm glad he couldn't, because if he could, he still could. But he couldn't, so he can't. That's good, right? That's just like Paul, the good that I would, that I would not, the evil which I would not, that I do. But I want you to understand this. He took my sin away. So many of us in this room, you've done horrible things that you're afraid other people in this room are going to find out about. And you live under that cloud all your life. Jesus took it away. There is no cloud. If Christians are worried about your cloud, they have an issue with God. I don't say you have to go, put on a billboard all of your transgressions. But I want you to embrace the forgiveness of Christ. You don't have to know this young man or know his name. I've never met a more sincere young man, maybe in my life, that had brokenness that I've never seen before. There's no doubt about it. Here's what he told me. He said, since I've asked Jesus to save me, I've had no issues with all the things I had trouble with. I said, that's interesting. I didn't want to say, and you'll never have trouble for the rest of your life, but I also didn't want to say, you still might have trouble. I didn't want to discourage him either way, right? So because I don't want to tell him, well, you're going to struggle. No, maybe he won't, right? I mean, where's my faith, right? I mean, but oh, this young man, I want him to have victory, the glorious victory in Christ. Third thing I want you to see, look at verse 4. He says, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. Have discussions on who this is talking about. I take this, he chooses godly men to lead. You could take this as he chooses every single believer. for special service for him. I think it's specific when it says, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. That would have been, you know, some of the Levites, some of the priests, I think. And then the we is the rest. So, praise the Lord for choosing godly men to lead. Praise the Lord he created his house to worship. Isn't that good? On a day that we're celebrating our 9th anniversary, he says, we shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. You know, it's really weird. I don't know. Something was different today. There was a good spirit here today. We always have a good spirit, but there was a better spirit here today. I'm not looking for emotions. I'm really not. I enjoy them when they come. I praise the Lord when they come. I really believe this. I love this church. I love this church. There is not resistance in this church. Do not let me discourage you. I don't want to discourage you. I want to encourage you. Yes, we can. God can use us. And let's not be impressed with ourselves. But I want to tell you this. What a delight to come and gather together in the house of God and worship him, right? It's like fantastic. And we're going to be doing it for all eternity. So I sure hope we're thankful and we praise the Lord for this today. Look at verse 5. By wondrous and glorious and awestruck things, by terrible things, not how we talk. It says, by terrible things, in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth and all and of them that are afar off upon the sea. He provides confidence in his righteousness. I didn't put that on my slide. It's in my notes. There should be one in between there. It says, provides confidence in his righteousness. Verse 5. It's not on the screen. I need to get a new editor. I fired me today. And so, but he provides confidence in his righteousness. What this is about is, I want you to have confidence. See, this young man just, he struggled having confidence in the righteousness of Christ. I tried to help him with that, but I wasn't trying to be Mr. Cliche with this young man. I want to try to continue to help him. And he can have confidence in Christ. I don't know what your battle is. Put your confidence in the righteousness of Christ. He is the only one that can lead us to victory. Don't put your confidence in your effort. It's not about you trying harder. It's about you submitting more. I want you to grasp having confidence in the righteousness of Christ. He is worthy. I think you combine that. You talk to me. We'll have a study in Romans 6. Romans 6 is still going to be bigger for me the older I get. Have confidence in his righteousness. Verse 6, you see already up on the screen. Look at this. Which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power. There's a switch here, and we've seen this in a number of the recent Psalms. David is beginning to praise God for his creative power and his creation. And now David switches here and moves, maybe I don't know if it switches, but makes a turn, and he's going to be praising God for the agricultural blessings of the day. Understand, this was an agricultural society. Everything hinged upon rain, upon sunshine, upon the blessings of God. I don't know if farmers, I would guess this, I would guess there's fewer atheists as farmers than there are other professions. You know, I mean, you do a rain dance, it ain't going to bring any rain. God's the one that brings the rain. And it says here, it says, he created everything by his strength. I want you to enjoy that, right? I want you to enjoy this. It's by his strength, not evolution. It's the all-powerful God. Which by his strength settest fast the mountains, being girded with power. Now, here's what's interesting. You could even suggest that the mountains, because the mountains, many of the mountains we have today were formed when? After the worldwide flood. And God was involved setting those there. You kind of think about it, right? Look, I'm sure there's science behind it because God is provable in all things because he makes it that way. He says, subdue the earth. Why aren't the mountains always just falling on us and collapsing? It tells us right here. Because he set fast the mountains. And I know we can investigate that scientifically, and I'm sure there's a scientific reason for it, but it's God. It's his strength. I want you to understand that. You go see, the Grand Canyon, and you go see, Smoky Mountains. You go see any of the vast, beautiful landscapes of the world, and it's God. I want you to see verse 7. He's creator over all. He said, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. He is creator over all. He calms it all. He has power over the seas. He has power over the waves, and he has power over the people. He's the creator of all. Verse 8. He says this, they also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice. I want you to turn over to Genesis chapter 1, verse 14 quickly. Genesis, first book of the Bible, chapter 1, verse 14. You'll find it fast. While you're turning to Genesis 1, 14, keep your finger in Psalm 65, but let me read verse 8 for you. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy tokens. Another word for tokens would be signs. And then he tells us the signs. Thou makest the outgoing of the morning and the evening to rejoice. What would you think of first when you think of that? The sun and the moon, right? Look at Genesis 1:14. Genesis 1:14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the light, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. That word could have been tokens in Genesis 1:14. I love the variety of words that give us the breadth of the meaning of words. Tokens is, I'm not questioning the translation of this. I like the breadth of it. He says, they also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy signs. See, the world sees the signs, the sun, the moon, the stars. And they fear, the Bible says. And they fight against it. They fight because they fear. I will tell you, I don't know all the stories behind the renowned atheists. And behind every renowned atheist is a thirst and a love and a bent against a creator God. It's because they fear, they see it, and they fight against it. And the Bible says, they also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid of thy tokens. Another perspective of this is it's this, the people that are in the farthest reaches of the world, sun, moon, and stars declare God. Verse 9, I want you to see this. He provides life-giving water. He says, thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God. The river of God really just probably refers to just the overwhelming river, sometimes that are created with the rain. Nothing, I think, more than that. Which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges. So imagine a plow going through the field. Plow going through the field. It opens up the earth. You'll see the ridges. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. That settles the furrow. So when you go in a plow, it creates a furrow. And then it says thereof, thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. So open it up. Plant the seed. God closes it with the water. What a blessing. Then he talks about providing life-giving harvest. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness. At the end of the year, all the blood, sweat, and tears, the planting, thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. The blessings of God are everywhere. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The abundance, the goodness of God. We as Americans, we take that for granted. We are all acting way too bent out of shape when Kroger's doesn't have Zesta crackers on the shelf. Anybody else notice no Zesta crackers? Guess what else is missing? Bologna. It's been a tough thing to find. Easier to find Diet Mountain Dew than it is bologna. But my wife is vigilant, trying to kill me, so she found me some bologna and crackers. Anything else? But we are so used to the abundance of God that we complain. Look at verse 13. It says, the pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. Let us shout for joy. Do you see why I warned you? You would have actually thought I was about ready to finish this message. This is a list of things that I don't usually thank God for his creative power, for his creation, for agricultural things. I just don't. But I should. What I want to take you to is I read one sentence and it threw me into just, I had a lot of fun. And it was one sentence of a commentary I read of suggesting that there could be some perspective of the spiritual harvest in all of this discussion. I'm going to re-preach my message that talks about the God of our salvation. Be comfortable. I'm going to start with verses 1. I want you to see this. The God of our salvation, we are saved by his strength. Verse 6. You see this. Look at verse 5. He says, by terrible things, in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation. You are the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are far off upon the sea. You've heard me say this a million times. You know the definition of hope. It means confident expectation. When a Christian says, I have hope in Christ, it's the confident expectation because of his righteousness, the all-glorious, terrible, wonderful righteousness of Christ. I still do it. I did it the other day. And I did it, Rob, I did it for you. I did it for you. Rob, I do this all the time. And I said, Rob, you got to be perfect in order to go to heaven. Rob's a new baby. Took some Pampers over there and we had a Bible study. And I don't know why I love Rob, you know. Here, how old are you, Rob? Yes. 50. 50-year-old baby. I don't know why I love that. Well, Jeff over here, how old are you, Jeff? 56-year-old baby. Just love it. Love babies. Right? Here we are. Little toddler right here, right? It's good. It's good, right? You got to grow up still, right? You got a long way to go. But I love that you have to have the perfect righteousness of Christ. You understand that now, right? If there's any sin left on you, it mars everything. You have to have all your sins removed and have the righteousness of Christ. We are saved, and then the Bible says, by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power. We are saved by his strength. Verse 7, which stilleth the noise of the seas and the noise of their waves and the tumult of the people, he calms troubled hearts. This is salvation. It's by his strength. It's not by your strength, and he calms troubled hearts. Is your heart troubled today? It's not a cliche. Seek the Lord. I'm telling you, I haven't said it in a while, but I say it so often you might get tired of it. Peace is a great indicator that you need to get in touch with God. You're troubled? Go to God. My trouble never leaves, Steve. Then keep going to him. Troubled? Go. Troubled? Go. Juan, your prayer request this morning. You said, what was the request that you had? I can't remember the exact words. Needy. Needy. And Trish says, well, he doesn't need help with that. That's the most needy guy I've ever known in my life. No. No, but you're talking spiritually. I need to trust the Lord enough. You know, my first reaction is, I ain't praying that. We can trust the Lord. You know, if I pray something stupid, is God just going to zap me? We think that, though, don't we? Give me neither poverty nor wealth, right? It's a good request. Do we trust him enough to ask? He's not going to do anything ridiculous. He's your father and he loves you and he's perfect. But I'm uncomfortable with those things, right? He'll calm your heart. I want you to look at this. Look, verse 8. He declares his wrath through his creation. That's verse 8. Turn over to Romans chapter 1 real quick. Romans chapter 1. Even preaching two messages, I'll be shorter than this morning's. I mean, doesn't that air conditioning feel good? No. Who's cold? Right there. All right. All right. That's good. Bring a jacket. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. See, this is top secret here. This is a top secret verse. I look at people and I go, I know that you know that God is unhappy with your sin. I know you know that. Verse 18, because the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteous men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it to them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God declares His wrath. And you know what we do? We use the law to tease that out. The law was given that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty, because God's already revealed His wrath. Everybody knows they're in trouble. They just have suppressed it. Use the law. Tease it out. And you'll watch the reaction. Sometimes they run. Sometimes they're unhappy. But I'll tell you this. They're guilty. The law has never failed me. They're quiet. And they're guilty. I've told you this. Only one time in my entire life has anybody ever let me use the law to make them quiet and guilty, and the law's done it every time, that they haven't allowed me to share the gospel. Just one time. Used to be able to say none. The law is wonderful because God has already revealed His wrath to them. They suppress it. Tease it. What do I mean by tease it? You know, if you got like flat hair, you know, tease your hair. Hey, I grew up in the 80s, right? You know, all the girls were like, hey, wow. What happened to your hair? And so, you know, then you see them like 40 years later, like, whoa. I thought you had a bunch of hair. No, just doing crazy things with it. And so teasing your hair, you know, like that. So anyway, enough history. I want you to see this. Look at verse 9 spiritually. He gives the water of life, and the water of life is His word. Look at this in verse 9. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided it. It's full of water in abundance. In abundance. Just listen to this. I'm going to give you a few verses. Listen to Psalm 86:15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth. Listen to Psalm chapter 130, verse 7. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption. In abundance. And then listen to Matthew 9:37. Then saith He to His disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous. What I love is His mercy, His redemption, His grace, His long-suffering, His compassion match the need. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. He gives the water of life, which is His word. I encourage you with this. I encourage you with this. Who was it? It was a waitress. It was a waitress just the other day, and Adam and I were at La Rosa's, and we've been there, I don't know, half dozen, 10, 15 times, however many times we've been there. And she's super nice, and I think we've asked if we could pray for her, right? That would be declaring, right? That would be declaring. And I just looked at her this past week, and I said, Jenny, are you born again? And she looked at me deer in the headlights. She goes, I don't even know what that means. I go, so I'm suggesting you're probably not if you don't know what it means. And I said, let me explain to you. I got to share the gospel with her. I went out and got a marked New Testament. I brought it in, and I showed her how to use it. I showed her how to use it, and I said, you know, we'll be back. And she works there because her dad owns the La Rosa's. And so I'm trying to get him saved so we can have free pizza all the time. Just kidding. Only a preacher thinks that way, right? It's like, I need a parking lot. I've been visiting concrete guys. And who said that? Anyway, I this is so terrible. But see, I gave her the Martin New Testament. Here's why. It'll help her navigate the scriptures. Because here's what I know. She needs the Word of God to be saved. And I don't know if the Lord's working. Adam's known this young lady for a long time. He worked at La Rosa's for 7 years. And he gave me this great finality of where she was at. He goes, either she was happy or she was mad. I go, wow, thank you for that. He goes, I just couldn't read her. And told her we'd be back, gave her a couple tracts. What I was really trying to do was give her a Bible that would help her. It's why I love the Mark and New Testaments. You should have them in your car. Got them upstairs. I think I have about 100 of them. We have 100 of them. And use them. And but it's this. I can't save Jenny. I can't help Jenny here. I talk loud. You think I talk loud, Dakota? Not really. I love that. I love you're too nice, Dakota. And it's this. If I could, I tell people this. I would be like, this. I hate this. I finally gotten used to it when I used to travel internationally. When I first started traveling internationally, they wouldn't understand me. I'd get louder. What? You think you can understand English louder? I treat lost people that way too. Do you? You know, and it doesn't help. Right? I can get more aggressive and it doesn't help. Randall highlighted for me years ago. He said, do you know when you're door knocking, you get closer to them? You know? I am so not physical touch, but I'm not trying to intimidate him either. That's not going to help. And so, wasn't it you that told me that? Probably. In love. You got to get the word of God into people. Here's what you can do. Tell people this. Hey, you ever see the Bible by Takarda? You should listen to that on the way to work. Try different things to get the Bible in them. Say, listen to it as many times as possible. John chapter 1. See how many times you can listen to it on the way to work. I'll tell you, they probably can listen to it 15 times. And then I want you to, when you're listening to it, come and ask me some questions. We'll have a great time. Just creative ways to get the Bible in them. Get them thinking about the Bible. Get you talking about the Bible. Get the Bible in them. Faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. You want a lost person to hear? It's the Word of God. That's it. You ever seen these videos? I love these videos. These little kids. I mean, the older I get, you know, just crying. This amazing technology. These little kids hear for the first time, and they just lose it when they hear Mama's voice. I'm like, oh, man, that is so good. Faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. We don't need technology. We need God's Word and the Holy Spirit. Why don't you be a hearing impaired specialist? Get in the Word of God. It's in abundance. We live in a country that's in abundance. In abundance. In abundance. Look at this. I love this. If you want to take it further spiritual, thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Now I know it's talking about the ground, but you ever get people and they're like, they furrow their brow? I know I'm taking two different definitions here, but I love doing that. And so I love this. I've watched them. And I watch the water of God's Word flatten their furrows out. I'm kidding. I don't know. The Lord will say, I never meant that, Steve, when I get to heaven. But I've watched the Bible melt people. It doesn't always melt. I ask Ron, you know, because I was expecting Ron to say, oh, of course I've seen that. With one of our recent Bible studies that you and Randall have been leading. And I said, well, did you watch the Word of God melt her? He goes, no. I'm like, won't use you as an illustration. And it doesn't always, does it? Visibly. You don't know what's happened on inside. But on the outside, you know, I do. I love this. I love this indication, right? I'm like, oh. The furrowed brow, God's Word. We've got to love and believe in the Bible and watch God do His work. And you know what He does? It results in fruit. Look at verse 11. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness. In thy paths drop fatness. Now, I want to tell you, it takes time, doesn't it? Same thing, it takes time. Look at verse 10. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. It takes time. It takes time. Are we willing to plant, water, and then watch God give fruit? And I want you to see this. Look at this. I love this. I love verse 12. Fruit is everywhere. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. Call me paranoid. You know what the little hill is for me? Little Hope Baptist Church. Little hills are everywhere. We have some fruit too. The little hills. Maybe there's a big hill over here. Lord, I just want to be a little hill for you. And you know what he says? He says this. He says, the little hills rejoice on every side. We can rejoice in the blessings of God. I'm not worried about being a big hill, little hill, medium hill, small hill, tall hill, short hill. I'm just glad I'm a hill. You're like a hillbilly. But it is, I'm just telling you, they drop upon the pastures of the wilderness and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. I dream about that. I dream. I just look around, Mike, I want you to have a baby here. Amy, I want you to have a baby. Relax, Jesse. And, you know, Carl, I want you to have a baby. And you know what? You don't control that, do you? But let's get involved in asking. My dream is that the pastures will be full of flocks. And you know, we really won't have time to grumble and gripe and complain if you're chasing after a little one. It's really tough on moms to come to church that got the little ones, right? I kind of just watch them and just enjoy and don't help. And I always think of it spiritually. I just watch them running after these little kids. And I even worried, you know, I'm thinking like a parent again, you know, no screens on the windows. Stop! Oh, man. And so, I know, so, well, no more opening the windows now that I've told you that. But just you're so busy chasing after your kids, before you know it, it's bedtime. Spend your life serving the Lord. You'll sleep better. And then finally, look at verse 13. They shall shout for joy, they also sing. Fruit is everywhere in abundance, and they'll shout. We will shout for joy. I didn't want to tell you this morning that, you know, the young man was my son, because it's really not my son. It's I want him to get it. And he was rejoicing. It was good. He's 27, and if he gets it right, but I don't want to be 27 again. The flesh and sin, you know, you think the draw of sin is rough now. It's just going to get worse, isn't it? Oh, if we follow God's ways, are you a farmer for Jesus? Planting, watering, his strength, his righteousness, his water, and then his harvest. Nothing like it. All that we can have sheep on our little hill. Send them out. Send them out. Send them out. I've never mourned when people move, or I want to send them out. I want to infect them. Infect everybody that you can. Final thought, I have a new thought, and this is really not that related, but it could be. I think I told you this morning, I told you this morning, I can't remember what I tell you sometimes, but funerals seem to be ripe for tenderness. Take advantage of them. There's a couple sitting in front of me at the funeral. It wasn't audible. I felt the urging of the Lord. Go, ask him for dinner. Ask him to your house for dinner. And I was like, no, we're going to Kansas. They haven't been to dinner at my house yet, but I just didn't want to. I thought, no, she's Jewish. I don't know Hebrews well enough. I'll ask Stephen over. He's studying for it. And so anyway, worst circumstance ever. They then came up to me and said, oh, we need you to walk in front of the casket. So I was like, God doesn't want me to ask him out for dinner. And the Lord said, no, you ask him to dinner as you're going to the casket. And I said, that'll look dumb. You can't imagine the conversation. So I said, okay. And I said, I'll guarantee you, I should never tell the Lord this, she's going to say no. Here's all I did. I said, my wife and I love my wife. Wives, be this way. I didn't talk to Deb. What am I going to do for the meal? You know? And so, my wife and I would love to have you do to for dinner. I'd known them previously, acquaintanceship from a nursing home. I said, my wife and I would like to have both of you over for dinner. I said, I have to go, but can you get me your contact information? I said, we'd love that. And she did this. We would be delighted. And I said, I told you so. And I do just what you do. I'm not very spiritual. I've regretted asking them. That's my flesh. I pray for you because I know you fight it, right? I'm glad I did, but my flesh goes, dumb, dummy. There are numbers sitting on my desk. I haven't texted them yet. I know what you go through. Do it. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to declare Christ, and I can accomplish my task of glorifying Him. Oh, I'd love to see them saved. But I don't know. God wants us to have people over for dinner. God wants us to declare Him. God wants us to be part of the agricultural, spiritual process. I'll finish with this. I had a friend. How many times am I going to finish today?
Seven.
Friend got very discouraged with me. You know when I talk to people, I'm like, got any fruit? I don't do that. I must have done it too strong with him. And so he went to another friend and he was like weeping. I was like, huh? And so I want you to understand this. Fruit involves the planting, the watering, and the harvest. Make sure you hear that from your pastor. We reap where we sow not. I believe if we're involved in the planting and watering, God will give us some babies, okay? Please don't misunderstand me. I then called this guy, and I said, hey, fruitful man! And I had to declare to him where I've seen fruit in his life, and God has given him a couple babies. And I wanted to encourage him, don't you be discouraged. You be planting, you be watering, and pray that God will give you the harvest. All of it is fruit. Part of the agricultural fruit-bearing process. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your people.